I guess our goal as dietitians, especially on social media, is to educate and inspire people. And so I think, you know, having good visuals is key to that. When you're thinking adding more colors, you're adding more variety to your diet, right? Like different fruits and vegetables. I personally like to, even when I'm meal planning, I go to the grocery store with that kind of flexible mindset. And you can look for vegetables that are seasonal or even on sale that.
Welcome to the Daily Dietitian Podcast. I am your host, Stacey Mitchell. I am so happy to have you here. My goal for this podcast is to break down the latest health topics and help clear the clutter in the messy world of nutrition and fitness. We hope to inspire, educate, and entertain all things wellness. Join us as we talk with experts in their fields on how to feel our best in our own body and mind. Hey there, thank you for joining us this week. I am so happy to have you here with us for this conversation. In the world of social media, one of the videos that I love to watch, besides a ton of dog reels, are easy, colorful food ideas. And our guest today is an absolute pro at not only putting together beautiful meals, but meals that are packed with nutrients. Our guest, registered dietitian Andrea, has developed an astounding Instagram feed called The Dietitian Feed. Fitting, right? Andrea has a true gift in pairing all kinds of foods that will spice up your meal plan with new flavor and exciting dishes to try. Plus, the reason why I really wanted to have her on the show is because her recipes are so simple. Meals you can make in a pinch. And I love hearing from dietitians that understand my need for super easy meals that don't have 10 ingredients or take a bunch of time in the kitchen. This conversation will have you inspired to get in the kitchen and add more colors to your plate. Join us for this conversation. Well, Andrea, it is so great to have you here with us. Will you introduce yourself and tell everyone who you are and what you do?
Yes, thank you so much for having me. So my name is Andrea. I'm a registered dietitian, of course, based in Ontario, Canada. I'm kind of leaning more into the culinary world of things right now, and I just love food and love getting others excited about food. A little about me. My family is Italian, so food's always been, you know, super important to us, and more of that way to connect and share with those close to you, in addition to, obviously, the nutrition side of things. So I've been a dietitian for just only about 3 years now. And I run the brand, The Dietitian Feed. And that's where I share meal planning inspiration, recipes with a focus on, you know, being quick and easy and delicious. I also work as a consulting dietitian in long-term care, which I've been doing for about 2 years now.
Awesome. You have quite the ends of both spectrum from long-term care to food. I love that.
Yes, definitely. Two very different things, but it's a good mix. The thing about being a dietitian, there's so much you can do within the field, which is awesome.
So did you also have any culinary training? Because your food looks amazing.
Oh, thank you so much. No formal training, but I've just kind of all my life, I've been interested in food and cooking and being in the kitchen, you know, with my mom and different people in my family. So I've always... just really always been very interested in food and cooking. Just over the past, when I was growing up, I would just, you know, experiment in the kitchen, making different recipes. And I kind of just honed my own skills. You know, I took a one recipe development course. But other than that, I've kind of been self-taught.
And I think that's the beauty of it, because it's real life cooking. You know, as a dietitian, we know what ingredients we want to put in. And kind of testing how the flavors and the tastes and things like that. Tell us more about the journey in starting this feed.
Yeah, so I've always been a consumer of recipe blogs, I guess I should say. I've always been so interested in it. I was always in awe of the food photography and, just how people create recipes just like from nothing, you know. So early university and high school, I was always making recipes from different bloggers that I really liked. And then eventually, as I was kind of becoming a dietitian, I was still in my internship. And I just thought, you know, why not just try this on my own? Like, I'm super passionate about it. I love cooking, I've always been one to, you know, make recipes and then like give them, like share them with people, you know, like always giving people muffins and this and that. So I've always been interested in sharing my food and my recipes. So eventually, you know, as I kind of just got better, more confident in the kitchen and more confident in, you know, throwing things together without using recipes, I just decided, why don't I record some of these and, you know, start my own recipe blog. So yeah, it's definitely a learning curve. You know, I guess, you know, dietitian training, we don't get any really training in business or how to start, you know, anything like a blog or anything like that. So yeah, I kind of just took the plunge. I just did a lot of research online, did some YouTube videos, and, you know, started developing my recipe blog. Yeah, just also lots of practice with the food photography side of things as well.
Well, you're hitting it on every key, from the reels to the post to your blog. Everything looks amazing.
Thank you
for that. While we're talking, why don't you tell everyone your website?
Yes, my website is called The Dietitian Feed. The same handle across TikTok and Instagram if you'd like to find me. Yeah, so it's in my blog is where my recipes kind of live, and then I share those on Instagram and TikTok with reels and photos and whatnot.
When you're making a new recipe, what are some must-haves, whether it's nutrition or ingredients, that you mm-hmm. want to have in your recipes?
So really my main focus is not so much certain ingredients, but I do like to have my recipes be nutritionally balanced. And that's one thing that I talk about a lot on my blog, like in my blog posts and also on Instagram and whatnot, is I always like to have those components to make it a balanced meal. So the protein, carbohydrates, fiber, healthy fats, all that stuff. So I really try to make, you know, especially my main like entree dishes to be nutritionally balanced. That way, takes the guesswork out of people's days. They can just follow my recipe and they have a whole meal that's nutritionally balanced ready for them. Yeah. So, I mean, and it's more just kind of the overall big picture rather than specific ingredient wise.
Right. And even in your recipes that you have, people don't have to get caught up in the nitty gritty, as in like how many how many grams of protein does it have, or how many calories. You do all of that for us.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so I don't post the, you know, the nutrition breakdown. Like I usually talk about like, you know, what kind of nutrients are in the recipe. Like I talk about where the protein's coming from and whatnot, but I don't do like a nutrition label where it's like calorie counted. That's kind of my approach in general, more of like that non-diet approach. Not having to like weigh things or calorie count. Not saying there's not value to that. There's lots of education, you know, for people that want to start out and, you know, want to understand where their calories and protein and fats are coming from. But with my recipe blog, I kind of more take that intuitive approach, just, you know, promoting whole foods, nutritionally balanced eating, rather than having to calorie count.
I love that. You have your blog and recipes. Tell us how people work with you.
Yeah, so my main services at this time are the, you know, the recipe development, food photography, videography, so creating those reels, definitely focused towards creating content for social media. So like at this time, my clients are more so like brands and different businesses that want to work with me. I've done hosted cooking classes, do some nutrition writing. So it's more so, you know, brand facing. And my goal is to kind of offer that free value to people who, you know, want to consume my content, eat better, are interested in, you know, healthy eating.
What are some of your most popular reels and posts?
Yeah. So actually recently I started a series called Dinner in a Pinch. So I've been posting, you know, easy, quick dinner ideas for people to kind of whip up like on a work night, but they don't have too much time or don't want to spend, you know, so much energy in the kitchen. So I've gotten pretty good feedback from that. Lots of people have been making those recipes and sending me photos they've been making. So it seems to be a really popular one right now. And I think that just speaks to, that's what people want, right? Is those easy, simple meals when they're so busy with life.
Exactly. We can't get enough of them. And a recipe that's so simple that we can see and almost do it from memory, like a no recipe recipe.
Yes.
I love those.
Exactly. Like it's very, the steps are very intuitive and you can kind of just, yeah, kind of eyeball the ingredients, which is my favorite way to cook too, you know?
Right. I love your Dinner in a Pinch. Tell us some meal ideas that you share.
Yeah. So I've been, for the Dinner in a Pinch, I've been posting a lot of sheet pan meals. which of course is just one of the most easy things you can throw together. So I do love the idea of, you know, putting things on a sheet pan, even if it's multiple sheet pans, and baking it in the oven. That way it's, you know, you cut that hands-on time for cooking. You can kind of just set it and forget it in the oven. So I'm posting a lot of recipes like that. And with the sheet pans, I really like to spice things up with different like sauces or marinades, you know, things to kind of top the recipe off that kind of add that interest and that keep the meal interesting and, you know, not just like a pan of roasted veggies. Recently, I think the last Dinner in a Pinch I posted was a crispy chickpea and vegetable sheet pan. And I used a maple tahini sauce just to kind of put on the end right before serving to kind of keep it more interesting, add that lots of flavor. You know, just to make the meal more crave-worthy and interesting.
It looks gorgeous. And the very simple ingredients, too. You know, I'm not having a ton of things to do and a lot of ingredients. It's just basic steps for that.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And that is something that I would never think of. You know, it's not your normal, like, spaghetti and meatballs. It's, oh,
yeah,
I can have some chickpeas and roast them, and that is a good source of your fiber and protein, and then getting in those veggies. And like you said, adding those dressings to really make those ingredients pop.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I also, one of my most popular recipes, just like on Instagram, just like reach wise, like many people have seen it, is actually a recipe I did in collaboration with Ontario Dairy. And it's kind of fitting right now. It was a lemon Parmesan pasta primavera, and I did it last spring. And now with spring coming up again, it's kind of fitting that that's one of my most popular recipes to kind of bring back up again.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. I think that pasta is one of those simple, easy weeknight things people love to make, you know?
Right. And I think pasta, I'm going to put on the nutrition part of it, but it sometimes can get a bad rap. And when you look at it, it does have, you know, added nutrients in there. It's fortified usually. It has protein and even fiber, because sometimes we think regular white pasta, oh, that's bad.
Yes, that's so true. It does get a bad rap for sure. Especially, you know, there's always, you know, through the ages, there's always one nutrient that's, I guess, demonized. And right now it is carbohydrates. It's something that I think all of us dietitians hear about all the time. You know, people try to cut carbs. But you know what? I love pasta. I eat pasta all the time. And like I mentioned, I'm Italian, so it's never not going to be part of my diet. And it definitely can be part of a nutritionally balanced diet. You know, I think there's, you know, it does contain carbohydrates, but I guess as dietitians, you know, that's not a bad thing. And it's one of those really easy meals you can really dress up and make it a nutritionally balanced meal by adding those proteins, adding those fats, adding that fiber through like different vegetables to kind of make you feel more full and satisfied, make it more of a nutritionally balanced meal. You know, I think we all know that if you just ate pasta on its own, you're going to be hungry again in about, you know, an hour. But if you make it into that nutritionally balanced meal, like I did with this pasta primavera recipe, it really becomes that full meal. You know, you're getting everything you need in one go.
Exactly. You're not sitting down and eating an entire bowl of giant pasta, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like at a restaurant.
Yes.
What is your favorite type of pasta?
Ooh, that's hard. I really like rigatoni. Probably my favorite noodle, okay. You know? And I generally love just like a nice like tomato sauce. You know, that's my favorite way. That's how what I grew up eating on, you know, Sunday dinners at my grandparents' house. We always had pasta with tomato sauce. So that's probably my favorite. It's just one of those comfort food things. It's a classic, you know, but I do love pasta in all its forms and, you know, all the sauces.
Do you tend to just get the regular old pasta, or do you venture out and try different ones like chickpea pasta or whole wheat or any of those?
Yeah, sometimes. I've tried the, you know, the chickpea pastas and the lentil pastas and whatnot. And I do like them, you know, when you want to have something really simple. Because say you're super low on time, just throwing some chickpea pasta in a pan with some tomato sauce or, you know, to boil in a pan with some tomato sauce. It is so simple, and you're getting the extra protein and fiber, you know, without having to add all those extra things like other proteins, like, you know, chicken or whatever. And, you know, things like the vegetables to kind of beef up the meal and make it nutritionally balanced. So it is nice when you're in a pinch. But I do just love like a the normal pasta noodle, like just like the white rigatoni pasta. It's probably my favorite, you know?
Exactly. Let's tell everyone that one is just fine. My family
exactly.
is not a fan of the lentil or the chickpea, and they're like, can't we just have regular pasta? And that is totally fine.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah, nothing wrong with those things, but I agree. I just love the classic, you know. I think, too, that speaks to, you know, just eating cultural foods can be included in a healthy diet as well. You know, I think, like, a lot of those cultural foods are demonized a lot. Things like the white rice, white pasta, you know, just different breads, which are a staple in so many cultures. I think it, you know, those things can be demonized a lot, but they all fit into a healthy diet. And I think that those cultural considerations are important. You know, for myself, people are a lot of times are shocked that I eat pizza and I eat, you know, white pasta, but it's just one of those things. It's food is more than just nutrition. It's a comfort. You know, it's culture, it's sharing. So I think that part, the piece is so important as well and can be, you know, it can be part of recommendations for a healthy diet.
Totally. You really make your plates super colorful, and that's kind of a no-brainer. You're a dietitian, so you're going to add all sorts of colors in there. And the key here is you make them taste really good. What are some of your most flavorful, let's say, fruit and veggie packed dishes?
Oh, that's a good question. Let's see. So I have this one recipe that I kind of created based on the, if you remember the feta pasta trend that was really big on TikTok a while back, I created this one recipe that's a sheet pan meal, and it uses like a block of feta like they do in the pasta recipe. But I combine it with chicken and lots of vegetables and some mini potatoes. On like all in a sheet pan to make it a simple meal. And that packs in so much flavor with the different vegetables, the feta cheese, and just the different seasonings I put on the chicken to kind of sear it. That's a really flavorful one. And that shows too, you can have those fun foods as part of your healthy diet. Like the, you know, the feta cheese is something that we think of high in fat, high in sodium. But, you know, I think it's important to have those fun foods as well as part of, you know, your weekly meal plans, because that's what keeps it interesting, keeps you coming back.
Totally. And very simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Definitely.
I see you have one, the edamame kale dip. That sounds amazing. Tell us about that.
Yes. That was kind of another copycat recipe I did. I'm not sure in the States if you have Farm Boy. It's similar to Trader Joe's-ish.
Okay.
Anyway, so they have a lot of their like in-house made products, and they have this product called the Edamame Dip. And everyone's obsessed with it. It's a really yummy dip, and it has kale and edamame beans. So I kind of made it based on that. So that's a really fun way. The reason I wanted to make that recipe is it's a really nice, fun way to kind of get in that plant-based protein and as well as extra veggies with the kale. So I think dips are always a fun thing to incorporate for snacks or alongside with your meals. So just spread on like a sandwich or something.
Ooh, yes, that would be amazing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can make dips my main course, you know.
Exactly. I know. Yeah. More like a charcuterie board style. I love that.
Right. That is a lot of fun. You got your kale, your edamame, garlic, jalapeno pepper, a little bit of lemon juice. Mm-hmm. That looks so good. I cannot wait to try that.
Yes. Let me know if you do.
And then I see you also do a great job of adding in some sweets. Which one? Is there a favorite in there?
Yes. Ooh, that's a good question. Well, most recently I posted this chocolate mousse dessert, and it's made with soft tofu, like the silken tofu. So I do like to make those sweets that have those nutrition benefits as well. Nothing wrong with, you know, the full sugar sweets. I make those sometimes as well. And I do have a cookie recipe on my blog. It's my orange chocolate chunk cookies. Those are kind of made using, you know, the traditional flour, sugar, butter, those kinds of things. So I like to have a variety on my blog because I think it's important to remember that not everything has to be healthified, right? And I think it's great to have those more nutrient-dense desserts because those things, you know, they make you feel good. Like you can have a dessert at the end of the night, it won't make you feel, you know, lethargic or tired or gives you that sugar rush. But yeah, I like to kind of have a variety of different sweets. And I think, you know, I try to let my recipe blog and my recipe speak for themselves. And I include, you know, the regular versions of cookies, and I include the healthier versions of cookies to kind of normalize that it's okay to include both in your diet.
Oh, so true. So true. That mousse looks delicious.
Yes. That's a really good one. And actually, it's funny because we've talked about incorporating some long-term care homes as well as kind of that high protein, you know, snack or dessert.
I can see that. When I was first a dietitian and working in retail, I think one of my first TV segments was something like this, but I use tofu and chocolate pudding mix.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, that's even easier. I love that.
I don't know about that, but I thought it was so good, and my husband, I don't think he was a big fan of it. That's okay.
Yeah. This is the word tofu kind of turns people off,
right,
you know?
Right. But it does have a good source of protein in there too for maybe someone like a vegan variation that would help or be helpful for them.
Oh, absolutely, for sure. I think tofu is such an underrated food. It's such a nutrient powerhouse. It includes, you know, we always think it has so much protein, which of course is a great source of protein. But it also is high in things like calcium and iron and different vitamins and minerals that you don't always think about.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's a great thing to, you know, increase the nutrient density of your diet.
And the whole thing with the estrogen thing, there's a lot newer research out there. I say that because I was just looking up for a friend for, you know, those female diseases type and how estrogen is helpful for those types.
Oh, of course, definitely. There's so much new research in that area. And I've also read some research recently on it that it actually can be protective against some of those cancers. Like breast cancer, which you typically think, you know, if you eat too much estrogen, you know, like you're at risk of developing those types of cancers. But there's actually been studies showing that in parts of the world where they have tofu in their diet, you know, as a staple, there's actually lower rates of things like breast cancer.
Right. I love hearing that.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about, you have some meal plan resources on your site?
Yes. So in the past, I have created like a meal planning guide for people that is available for purchase on my blog. So I think meal planning is the approach that I take on my blog and what I promote on my Instagram and whatnot, because it's, you know, I think one common misconception is people think meal planning means meal prepping for hours on the weekend, right? But I kind of try to promote meal planning as more of a resource to help, you know, improve your life and, you know, try to give you back some of that time. I think when we don't take that maybe 30 minutes to do your meal planning, you're kind of scrambling all week long to figure out what to make, how to get it on the table, you know, what and whatnot. But when you're doing the meal planning, it can be more of that flexible approach to fit your lifestyle. So you can kind of plan maybe four or five recipes that you're going to make for the week, get your ingredients for that. And that way, you know exactly what to make, maybe do a little bit of easy prep on the weekend, like chopping your vegetables and whatnot. So it's kind of more of the approach I take. I don't personally do a big meal prep. I'll make a few little things here and there to kind of make the week easier. But I think meal planning can be a really great tool to help people just eat well consistently.
Right. The simplified version, and we can almost redefine the word meal planning as just having stuff ready to go, have an idea, and if something doesn't fit, we can be flexible in that area.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just nice that you can adjust for your lifestyle. Like if you know you're going to be out late one night and you're going to be, you know, if you're going to be out for dinner one night, you can kind of adjust for that. You know, adjust for things like if you're going to be, if you have to be out, you know, taking your kids to different appointments in the evening, you know, you can make something, you know, even something that's like frozen, you froze ahead of time. You know, it's nice to just plan out your week, and that way you're not on the night of, you're not saying, oh, shoot, what should I make now? You know?
Right. We've all had those nights where it's like, oh, well, this is just a big fail and I don't know what to make. Let's have cereal. That's fine too.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and that's fine too, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. What would be your main message in telling someone about kind of getting started in maybe adding more colors to their meals without the overwhelm?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, you know, one way I really like to add more colors and add more, I guess when you're thinking adding more colors, you're adding more variety to your diet, right? Like different fruits and vegetables. I personally like to, even when I'm meal planning, I go to the grocery store with that kind of flexible mindset. And you can look for vegetables that are seasonal or even on sale that week. That's definitely going to help you make those decisions on like what vegetables you want to include with, you know, your chicken this week. It kind of opens you up to having more flexibility. If you're kind of, you know, eating more seasonally, you can say, for example, this month peaches are in season, right? But then last month there was apples. So you can kind of just change up your diet naturally that way throughout the season. I think too in Canada or in Ontario, especially, we grow so much fruit here in this summer month. So, you know, it really opens you up to that flexibility and trying different things all the time. So I think, you know, when you're at the grocery store, it's good to look out for just different things that, you know, maybe haven't tried before, you know, challenging yourself to add, you know, one more vegetable to your week that you normally wouldn't have had. So for example, if you always have, you know, broccoli with your meal, you can try something else like sauteing bell peppers, you know, something else in a different color. I think too, it's nice just to even like browsing on recipe blogs. So that's something that I've always done for myself. And you kind of just get different ideas. You might see something you haven't tried before and a new fun way to even cook a same vegetable you've tried in the past. So I think just getting inspiration from Instagram, from those recipe blogs can be a super simple and like easy way to, you know, add more variety to your diet.
Totally. What would one of your favorite go-to meals be? Say you have like 10 minutes or so to get something ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So one of my favorite go-to recently, especially for lunchtime, has been my smashed chickpea avocado sandwich. So I have this recipe on my Instagram. And you take a can of chickpeas, you chop up a few vegetables that you might have on hand. The veggies I use in my recipe, they can be interchanged with really anything you have in your fridge. You add a bit of smashed avocado and you put it in a sandwich, and that's super quick, super easy. It adds also that plant-based protein, the fiber, all the things you need in the meal.
Oh, I'm definitely going to have to try that. Mm-hmm. Anything to mix with an avocado is golden.
Yeah, definitely.
Tell everyone where they can find you and connect with you.
Yeah, so on Instagram and TikTok, I'm at The Dietitian Feed. And my blog is the exact same name. It's just www.thedietitianfeed.com. I'm also not sure. Some places they use dietitian with a C. So dietitian with a T, if you're trying to find me.
That's right. Yes, mm-hmm. We always have to point that out. Andrea, you do such an amazing job in inspiring people to eat more balanced meals and all foods just looking at your feed. I am so happy you are on the show.
Thank you so much.
Okay, which recipe are you going to try? I am definitely trying the chickpea sandwiches and the edamame dip. Just genius. And I hope you enjoyed this conversation. Be sure to go and follow her for inspiration and pure enjoyment. If you are like me, you probably have saved a bunch of reels that you say you're going to make, but how about we try one next week as your homework? And then when you try it out, send me a DM and let me know which recipe of Andrea's you have tried so I can try it too. I need some accountability here. I always have so much fun talking with a guest, and thank you so much for spending your time here this week on the Daily Dietitian Podcast.